Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business. Complicated. Thank you very much. I've just received a call from Secretary Clinton. She congratulated us, it's about us, on our victory. And I congratulated her and her family on a very, very hard-fought campaign. I mean, she fought very hard. Hillary has worked very long and very hard over a long period of time, and we owe her a major debt of gratitude for her service to our country. I mean that very sincerely. Now it's time.
Well, we'll stop
for America.
Right there. Thank you, Russ, so much. Friends, there you have it. The most controversial election in United States history has come to a conclusion in a very dramatic, and to be quite honest with you, unexpected fashion last evening. And what we're going to do today on the program is we're not going to try to analyze necessarily what happened and why it happened. We're just going to celebrate what took place last evening. Gary, Sam, I'm going to be real honest with you and tell you where I was, what I was doing. I got in from a meeting here at the church where I'm speaking in Indiana last evening. I got in probably about 9:30. And of course, everything was still up in the air. Trump was obviously doing quite well at that time. But we didn't really know anything of substance until much later in the evening. But I watched and observed, and you could tell where the evening was trending fairly early on. And it was amazing, gentlemen, to watch as the pundits wrestled with trying to come to an understanding of what was taking place, because no one predicted the kind of victory that Donald Trump procured last evening. And gentlemen, I want to say this. I believe it was nothing less than God in heaven responding to the very specific, very direct prayers of his people. Sam, I want to go to you first and get your thoughts, and then Gary, we're going to come to you.
Dave, my sense, 100% clearly exactly the same. You know, we had prayed on this program for the last 2 weeks. We've been closing this program in prayer. We have been talking about what it would take for there to be a victory over the entrenched establishment that was really, as we know, were controlling the polls, were controlling the circumstances, doing that through which manipulation, what they do. And we said on this program that even if God's people got out and voted, which I think they did, it would still require a divine intervention of God himself to overturn from the perspective of what had been put into place. And we prayed on this program that if he would grant a victory, that when we got on the other side of it and looked back, that you would have to, the average person would have to say, unbelievable, miraculous, God had to have been involved. And whereas that everybody is not giving God the credit, we want to on this program, because I believe, Dave, that's exactly what happened. God intervened and heard the prayer of his people across this country. Now, I believe that prayer only begins. We can talk about that, the next step. But I think God heard, and in this piece, he answered, and he did it his way, so that even the pundits shake their head, wag their heads, can't believe it. That's an indication of what God has done.
Well, friends, we are going to talk much about the path forward, but today's not the day to do that. Today is a day of celebration and acknowledgement to the God of heaven for what he did. And Gary, I found it to be very, very interesting. In the last four presidential elections, about 100 million people out of the 320 million plus people that are citizens of the United States have voted. However, last evening, the total vote count approached about 120 million, which means this. There were about 20 million additional voters at least who cast ballots that in the last four presidential elections have not done so. And so there is that what we called a shadow voting group, or that undercover, as Fox is calling them, the undercover voting group that the pollsters could not get access to because they weren't considered likely voters. The likely voters are those that have voted in two of the last four presidential elections, and none of these people had done that. But they came out in force in the primary season. They came out certainly in force last night and over the process of the early voting here in the general election, and put Donald Trump over the top. Now, while we're acknowledging all of that, we want to very quickly say this, that we're not giving the credit here to a political entity or to people. We're giving the credit to God, because only God could turn this kind of thing in this direction and cause this kind of great victory, despite everything, as Sam said, that had been set up to the contrary. Even some very uncomfortable voting irregularities, some things that were going on that were probably of a fraudulent nature, all of that was overcome to the astonishment, to the absolute bewilderment of all the political pundits. Gary, I know you were up late because we were texting back and forth in rapid fire succession. Give our listening audience a little bit of a perspective of what you were thinking as you witnessed this historic, historic outcome last evening.
Well, first of all, Dave, I went to bed about 2 o'clock and got up at about 4 o'clock. And so, yes, I was watching it, and it was historic. But, you know, you talk about giving credit. We must give God the credit for this, because of the fact that, as Sam said, he heard and he answered prayer. I also want to say thank you to everybody out there who prayed. I mean, I think that there was probably, Dave, more prayer going into this particular election than any other election that I know. I know personally I was burdened. I was sitting in my study about 8 o'clock last night and just got so heavily burdened and went outside for about an hour and prayed and prayed. And I know that that is multiplied by countless of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians across this nation. I think one of the lessons that we've learned, Dave, is that God does hear and God does answer prayer. And in line with what Sam said, with what we've talked about before on this program, one of my main prayers was that when we woke up today, that we would have to look at all of this and say, my, look what God has done, and only God could do that. And as you indicated, Dave, that's what has happened. So as I was sitting there watching that last night, watching a man who has never been in an elected office winning, and you know what? He was never behind in the electoral vote, never. And as I watched him win, the thought that came to my mind, this is God doing a great work. We must never forget it, and we must praise him for it.
Well, Gary, I think you've said it about as well as it can be said. I'm in complete agreement. And by the way, friends, I am sitting in a room that has a number of young people sitting in front of me that are part of the church where I'm ministering this week. They wanted to listen into the program, and so they're here. We may get a little bit of input from them and from others that will be calling in segment two and segment three from around the nation to share their thoughts and what they were going through last evening as they witnessed and prayed through this historic election. Don't miss the rest of the program. Join us after this brief timeout.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On this day, November 9, 1954, President Eisenhower spoke at the National Conference on the spiritual foundation of American democracy. He stated, "Now, Dr. Lowry said something about my having certain convictions as to a God in heaven and an almighty power. Well, I don't think anyone needs a great deal of credit for believing in what seems to me to be obvious." Eisenhower concluded, "And no matter what democracy tries to do in terms of individual liberty, when you come back to it, there is just one thing. Man is worthwhile because he was born in the image of God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Dave Kistler, along with Gary Dull and Sam Rohr. I want us to listen to another brief clip from the Trump speech last night, the victory speech. So, Rush, thank you so much for having that ready. And forgive me for jumping in on top of it, but if you would play that, I'd appreciate it greatly.
I pledge to every citizen of our land that I will be president for all Americans. And this is so important to me. For those who have chosen not to support me in the past, of which there were a few people, I'm reaching out to you for your guidance and your help so that we can work together and unify our great country.
Well, again, friends, you have it there, Donald Trump speaking last evening. Sam, I want to go to you before we bring a guest aboard to comment about where they were and what they were doing last evening. Sam, I found that to be very, very interesting. You have served in political office for about 18 years in the Pennsylvania legislature, run for the governorship and for the United States Senate from the state of Pennsylvania. For Trump to say to those that refused to support him, and he said there are a few of you that did that, I reach out to you for guidance. Sam, this is a different guy than the guy that started out this campaign 18 months ago and that was so controversial and bombastic during the primary season. I'd love to have your thoughts on what has changed Donald Trump.
Dave, I think a couple of things have changed Donald Trump. Number one, they're always through the entire process have been really two Donald Trumps. We know that from those who have known him. We know that from the Ben Carsons who have come out in support of him right after the primary, who said there is a different man in private. I think what we have seen and what we're seeing is that there was a public image Trump, which was not the image that his family knew and dealt with, or the employees of his company who worked with him talked about, nor the kind of person that Ben Carson talked about and that others talked about once they got to talk with him. So that's one part. I think the part that you saw last night as evidenced there in his words were the part that comes more closely to who and what he really is as surfaced and discussed by those who know him. That's number one. Number two, when you're in a position where you have been the victor, in this case, you have won an election, a true person will be humbled. He manifested, his attitude there was a humble attitude. Now, did that come just because of the win? No, I don't think so, because I think as we've talked in this program about Donald Trump being on a spiritual journey, and we have never said that we've known that he's trusted the Lord, but we have said clearly from those who have come alongside him, to whose he's seeking counsel from, they have said he is seeking the Lord, he is seeking counsel, and he is taking it. I believe that what we've been seeing through the latter end of the campaign, last night was another time, was a responding to the biblical counsel and input and advice from those that he has asked to give him input, pastors, preachers, people of God come alongside him. They have been telling him these things. They have told him repeatedly that if he were to win, it would not be because of him. It'd be because of what God has done, and he recognized that privately. I believe that we're seeing a person in further development, and I would submit that the weight of the office as it comes on his shoulders will further, I believe, and I am praying to this extent, further drives him to his knees, and as Abraham Lincoln puts him right smack and say, I need you, O God, as my personal Savior. He is on that track, and I think that we are seeing a movement in that direction, and that's why, partially, we need to pray for him and his team, not because the Bible says so, but we need to pray for them that they come to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. But this direction, I think, is a result of a combination of these things, Dave.
Sam, that is excellent analysis, and I would agree with you. Friends, I want to encourage you. The prayer battle has just begun. Nothing has come to a conclusion. This is just the beginning, and of course, in the days ahead, we're going to try to be providing to you as much leadership and direction with respect to this as we possibly can. But we have a caller on the line, and I want to bring this wonderful lady aboard. She is a dear friend of my wife and myself. We got to know her about a year ago. She is the former vocal coach and acting coach at Sight and Sound Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And many of you that have had the privilege to go and see one of those incredible, incredible performances at Sight and Sound Theater, you will have probably seen Kara Knight as she portrayed the part of Noah's wife. But Karen, you and Fred have become dear friends of Betsy and mine just over the last year or a little more. And you called me this morning, you and Fred did, and you told me a very fascinating story about the way you chose to approach election evening, vastly different than what I chose and probably more productive than what I chose and most of the American people chose. Welcome to Stand in the Gap today, Karen, and then share with us what you did last evening that I found to be absolutely intriguing.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dave. We have been praying all along, I know, as everyone has, for God's will to be done in this election. But as we were listening to things last night and watching the beginnings of the returns, we just decided that the better thing for us to do was to turn the television off, which we did, and we unplugged our phones, turned off our cell phones, and decided that we were just going to pray and pray and pray and trust the Lord and go to bed. So that's what we did. Now, I will say when we woke up this morning, we had a conversation, Fred and I both did, when we woke up and before we turned on our phones, we had a conversation about how faith was going to be under attack if, in fact, this country had put Hillary Clinton in office. And when we turned our phones on, the very first thing that I saw was your Facebook post in regard to the election and the amazing feat that God had accomplished for his children and his country through the prayers of the faithful people. And we just looked at each other in amazement. The tears began to flow. And then the first thing my husband said was, we need to call Pastor Dave right now. And so we called you because we wanted to say to another Christian pastor, first of all, we said, is it true? And secondly, we said, we just want to praise God and lift up our hands and praise to him and be so grateful for what has begun in this country as an incredible revival and a return to family values and Christian ways of government.
Karen, I want to thank you so much for giving me that call. In fact, you didn't wake me up. I know you and Fred were concerned that you'd awakened me because I was up until almost 4 in the morning. But I was wide awake at that time, and your call was just like inhaling pure oxygen to hear the story that you relayed to me and now that you've relayed to our audience. Gary, I want to go to you. You're a pastor, and you know Karen, and you know Fred Knight as well as I know them. You know what wonderful people they are. Gary, I just wonder in your mind, as pastor of a church, how many people across the country chose to go that direction last evening? Rather than watching the returns, they chose to go to their knees in prayer. And what we saw happen last evening was a response to people not fretting, not wringing their hands, not worrying, not wondering, but petitioning the God of heaven to do something for our nation and for the cause of revival. What do you think?
Well, Dave, first of all, hello there, Karen. Good to have you on the program today.
Thank you, Pastor Gary. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, and tell Fred I said hi, too. But, you know, Dave, I am guessing that that was probably multiplied tens of thousands of times across this nation. And the reason why I say that is that as far as we know, there were probably more evangelicals voting in this last election than have voted in a presidential election for a long, long time. And I think that that itself shows the concern of God's people. And God's people know Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I believe that the American Christian, at least most of the evangelical ones at least, were so burdened about this country that many of them did the same thing as Fred and Karen did. I think that there are a lot of people praying and fasting, and I think that a lot of people knew that if anything was going to come out of this election good, that it would take God to do it, and that prayer is the way to see God work. And so I would say it's countless and countless, maybe millions of Christians prayed, and I'm thankful that God heard and God answered.
Well, gentlemen, I want to tell you this. Starting about 8:30 last evening, my cell phone literally sounded like a machine gun as texts came in, and I was wrestling to try to answer those as fast as I could. And even right now, as we're on the program, texts are continuing to come in. Just got one from up in the Washington, D.C. area, a listener that's going to tune in, but they're in a very important meeting up on the Hill. And so I want to say this for the sake of our listening audience. We're giving glory to God today because that's where the glory needs to go. The acknowledgement needs to be made to him and what he has done in response to what I believe has been the desperate prayers of God's people. And Karen and Fred, I want to thank you guys so much for being aboard. We look forward to seeing you again, hopefully soon. But I think what you did last evening, as Gary said, could be echoed thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of times across the nation. And that is literally what took this election in the direction that it went. And so, friends, I want to implore you. I want to encourage you. Now is not the time to let up on your prayers. Now is the time to ratchet up your prayer effort. And when we come back from the break, we're going to go to Burlington, North Carolina, where on Monday evening, a phenomenal prayer meeting took place. You're going to get to learn about that. And I believe that factored in a big way to what happened last night as well. Join us after this brief timeout with more Stand in the Gap today.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster.
We are now all rooting for his success in uniting and leading the country.
And President Obama has invited President-elect Donald Trump for a meeting at the White House tomorrow. The president spoke after Hillary Clinton's concession speech.
We have seen that our nation is more deeply divided than we thought. But I still believe in America, and I always will. And if you do, then we must accept this result and then look to the future. Donald Trump is going to be our president. We owe him an open mind and the chance to lead.
House Speaker Paul Ryan says he is eager to work with a President Trump starting next year and a still Republican majority in Congress.
We have to work to heal the divisions of a long campaign.
This is a Fox News alert.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Well, in my experience, the days after Election Day can be filled with mixed emotions. Happiness, or at least some sense of relief when the candidates you supported make it to the finish line with a win. And conversely, unhappiness, or at least disappointment when someone you supported fails to achieve victory. I'm sure you're probably feeling some of that today. I know that I am. But for me, these are also the times to remind myself about where our trust should ultimately lie. And that is in our sovereign God who loves us and in whom we have our ultimate hope. Don't get me wrong here. After all, we at the Pennsylvania Family Institute believe it's vitally important to engage in voting and influencing the political process for the common good. I think the Bible's clear that we should be salt and light. But even so, as we work and pray to make a difference, our trust should remain in God. Just as the farmer patiently waits for God to bring the increase, all the while tending to his crops, so too we who engage in the field of citizenship.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
And now, I'd like to take this moment to thank some of the people who really helped me with this, what they are calling tonight, very, very historic victory. First, I want to thank my parents, who I know are looking down on me right now. Great people. I've learned so much from them. They were wonderful in every regard. I had truly great parents. I also want to thank my sisters, Marianne and Elizabeth, who are here with us tonight. And where are they? They're here someplace. They're very shy, actually. And my brother, Robert, my great friend. Where is Robert? Where is Robert? My brother Robert. And they should all be on this stage, but that's okay. They are great. And also my late brother Fred, great guy, fantastic guy. Fantastic family. I was very lucky. Great brothers, sisters, great, unbelievable parents. To Melania and Don. And Ivanka. And Eric. And Tiffany. And Baron. I love you and I thank you. And especially for putting up with all of those hours. This was tough. This was tough.
Russ, thank you so much, my friend, for playing that. I wanted you to listen to that. I don't know how many of you got to hear the victory speech last night, but Donald Trump took the majority of the speech to thank first and foremost his parents and then his family, his immediate family. And then he went down the line and thanked all of those people. In fact, had them up on the stage with him, those people that served on his team that helped him get to where he got. And Gary, I found it to be stunning. I found it to absolutely be stunning and really to be historic in that Donald Trump took time to thank others, not talk about himself, not talk so much about the historical nature of the victory, but talk about the others, those unsung heroes that were the ones that contributed to this campaign. Again, that is a different Donald Trump as well, don't you think?
Oh, I think so. And of course, we've talked about how that in recent days, we've seen a deep humility expressed by Donald Trump in numerous ways. Excuse me. And I think that that's what we saw there last night, David. A bit different than what Hillary did today in her speech.
Yeah, Gary, you pointed out to me in the form of a text. I don't think she said thank you to her family or expressed love to her family one time.
Well, she said she loved them more than words can say, and that was about it.
But she didn't mention any specific names or didn't go down the line, didn't take the kind of time that Trump did. I just found it to be very, very intriguing. Friends, there's something going on of a very good nature across the country, and we have a caller on the line. This is Dave Carter. Dave is a dear friend of mine. He has worked with our ministry in Washington, D.C., and for the sake of these young people that are sitting in front of me in the room where I'm doing the program today, Dave is our youth coordinator for all of our D.C. crusades, and Dave is also an assistant pastor at his father's church in the town of Burlington, North Carolina. And by the way, friends, you know that on this program, we talked a great deal about the Burlington revival that went on back during the summer and into the early part of the fall. And Dave was a part of that. He was able to be a witness to some of that. His dad was one of the pastors that participated in that revival. And David, number one, it's great to have you aboard, my friend. Great to be able to talk to you on air. But something took place, Dave, on Monday evening where your dad and about 100 other pastors gathered together to do something. Share that with our listening audience, if you would.
Yes, and good day, gentlemen. What a privilege to be on your show today and calling you from the red state of North Carolina. I'm wearing a red shirt in honor of North Carolina, and my eyes are red from staying up till 3 a.m. last night. But I definitely want to say that so many wonderful things were happening across our state. Much of it started in that revival, just pastors having a sense of urgency and their churches and their members and people who came under the tent wanting to see America great again. And the focus was on prayer, that prayer was the key and missing factor that maybe in our churches and in our hearts as Christians that had been lacking over the years, maybe not the consistency level there like it should be. So there were many challenges back in May through July that went out under that tent that we needed to return back to prayer. And so we've done that. My church Sunday night here in Burlington gathered at the altar for about 15 or 20 minutes at the close of our service, and every single person was on their knees praying. And then the meeting you're referencing, my father, with about 100 of those pastors, many of them, if not all of them, were part of that tent crusade in May, gathered on Monday night for just several hours of fervent prayer going up for this nation, letting God know there's still a remnant here of people that care. This remnant might have been a little lax in the past, in their prayer, but wanting God to know that we're here, and we want to shine bright in this world, and we realize and recognize the only way to do that is to first start on our knees and appeal our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask for his help and guidance. And we feel that that prayer was answered.
David, I agree with you 100%. Sam, I want to go to you because this is a radio program, Stand in the Gap Today, that is the radio program of the American Pastors Network. And Sam, this is the very thing for which we have prayed, the very thing about which we have labored so diligently and incessantly. And to see pastors in my home state of North Carolina come together like this, to see pastors step up and exert leadership like we should have been doing for the decades preceding this particular election, Sam, this has got to be phenomenally rewarding to you as president of the American Pastors Network.
Well, Dave, it is to us. It's an answer to prayer. You know, we're looking right now, we have the advantage now of looking back to an election result. But for a long time, everybody was looking forward for a long time, anticipating all kinds of things. Dave, we knew, and God put in our heart the mission of the American Pastors Network 3 years ago. 4 years ago, that says our nation was in trouble then. It didn't come in trouble last week. It's been in trouble for a generation. And we said, Lord, what is the solution to our problem in America? Well, we said it's a spiritual solution. And where's that going to come from? It's got to be led by the pulpits of America. And we know that most pulpits have been silent. They've walked away from the truth of God's word. And we believed, as his brother said on the program right here just a little bit ago, that there is a remnant. God has had the remnant. And our focus has been, and it is renewed, Dave, it is renewed with ever-increasing passion for the days ahead, because it is the pulpits in America, led by men of God in the pulpit, who are committed to God's word, who have a courage, a backbone, and a passion to understand what it takes to have a culture that God can bless, and that comes right out of the pages of God's word, communicated to the pew, lived out by our citizens, and then reflected by those who are in office. That is God's plan. And Dave, I am thrilled to hear these kind of reports. We have been rejoicing as we've seen pastors stepping up, and we are praying that God just builds this like a little candle that's been burning and erupts into a blazing inferno that runs across this nation and puts into place a revival that only God can bring. That's what we need, and this is why it's so exciting.
Amen, Sam. One of the things that I have had several questions about, in fact, a pastor from here in Indiana called me this morning and he said, Dave, do you think there's any possibility after last night's victory that the Christian community will do something similar to what we did back in 1980 after Ronald Reagan was elected president? We will rejoice for the moment and then basically sit down and not continue. And I said, you know, brother, I think the exact opposite is going to happen. And I want to go to Dave Carter with a question about this. But what I told this pastor is this, because I firmly believe it. I think because Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton were both such flawed candidates, very, very imperfect people, I think this time we realize that our confidence is not, cannot be placed in a human being. It cannot be placed in a man. And I think we still understand that. And while we rejoice that Donald Trump, who is very favorable to First Amendment liberty, very favorable to Second Amendment liberty, very much in support of repealing the Johnson Amendment to the tax code that has muzzled many an American pastor, while we rejoice in the fact that he will again initiate a relationship with the only friend we've got around the globe in the nation of Israel. While all of that is things for which we are rejoicing, we understand our confidence is in the God of heaven. Now, David Carter, I want to go to you. You're in Burlington. You witnessed a revival this summer, the likes of which really this country has not seen probably since back in the 50s when Dr. Billy Graham had that great crusade in New York City that went 16 weeks. This revival in Burlington went 12 weeks. What is going on among the pastors currently, and especially, David, after last night's stunning victory for Trump? What is going on for you guys down there as you move forward? Do you have plans to continue to ratchet up your unified efforts? What's going on?
Absolutely. You know, one of the hardest group of people to get together and to set aside their differences is a group of Baptist ministers. And ever since May, we've seen that change in our community. Every week, my father and I are getting together with several ministers of like faith, that we've never sat down at the table across from in 15, 20 years on a regular basis. We see them out and about at funerals and different things, but there's a different spirit amongst the pastors, amongst the men of God across America, and especially here in our community. They're getting together, they're meeting weekly, and they want God to do something great, and we're experiencing that here.
Well, David, thank you so much for being on the program. Appreciate you so very much. Keep up the great work, and tell the pastors there in Burlington how much we love and appreciate them. And we appreciate what you guys are doing in that section, that critical section of the state of North Carolina. Friends, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more and rejoice more about what our great God did. Don't miss this next segment, Stand in the Gap Today.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
A wise and frugal government which shall restrain men from injuring one another shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
Hi, I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, friends, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. You're listening to Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, and Gary Dull. And gentlemen, what a blessing, what an encouragement it is to be able to rejoice and to rejoice with our listening audience on what God did last evening. Gary, I want to ask you a question. Be honest with me, all right? Be real, real honest with me, transparent. You predicted on air for about a week that you thought the possibility existed for Trump to win in a landslide. Now, he didn't win in a landslide, but I think maybe the term mandate would be an appropriate term to apply here. But last evening, going into the evening, as you begin to see the election results come in, was there in your mind any thought whatsoever going into the evening that this could end up being a very lengthy and perhaps painful evening for you and for those of us within the Christian community? Was that thought going through your mind at all, or did you go into it with serene confidence that Trump was going to win?
Well, it's interesting, Dave, that I was in my study working and had, of course, the television on there, and about 7 o'clock, maybe 6:30, I saw that already there were a couple of states that Trump had won. And I thought, well, you know, maybe he is going to take this and take it early. But as I said, at about 9 o'clock, maybe about 8 o'clock, I'm sorry, it just hit me, hey, this is pretty serious. And so I did spend some time in prayer and then came in and continued to watch the returns. I was nervous. I've got to be honest with you. I predicted this landslide, yes. And if you look at the color on the map, at least the color on the map is a landslide. But I was quite nervous. As you recall, we were going back and forth, and I said, I am not going to start rejoicing until I see that he has 270 electoral votes. Although I did start rejoicing probably when he went over 200. But I did, at some particular point, Brother Dave, though a bit nervous there for a while, got to the point of saying, I said to my wife, I'm confident this guy's going to win this election. And I just thank the Lord for it. So it was interesting to see how that developed last night.
Well, guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Going into the evening, I was carrying an incredibly heavy burden. All yesterday afternoon, I was praying and just thinking, you know, based on what, you know, you hear even the most skilled pundits say, and everybody across the nation, you know, as far as the pundits on TV, were beginning to kind of backtrack a little bit yesterday afternoon. One gentleman, Ed Rollins, who at one point, if you'll remember, Sam predicted that he thought Trump could win by as much as perhaps 10 percentage points. Boy, he really began backtracking yesterday, and I'm not sure what he was looking at as far as internal polling data or polling data period, but he began to backtrack a little bit and talked about how difficult it was going to be for Trump to win, and you know, it looked as if Hillary was going to win, and he started talking about down ballot elections. He started talking about, you know, what was going to happen after the election and how Hillary would unify the country. And so, you know, you begin to hear those things, and I begin to carry a heavy burden. And going into the evening, I was monitoring even right up to the first 5 minutes into the church service. I was checking, you know, texts from people and checking, you know, online to see how the election was going and not really finding anything particular. But as soon as I walked out of the pulpit, someone came up to me and said, Trump won. I think they said the first two states were Kentucky and some other state I don't remember, Kentucky and Indiana. And of course, I'm in Indiana. And of course, that was encouraging. And then I went back to the room and it became fairly apparent early on that everything was trending the right direction. Sam, all through the night last night, because of your connections there in the state of Pennsylvania, you were letting Dr. Gary and I know that things were trekking upward for Trump in certain precincts and certain sections of the state of Pennsylvania. And I remember the text you sent when you said Trump now leads by 0.1 percentage point, and it just continued to go upward from there. Talk a little bit, Sam, about why Trump won. I know we're talking about prayer being the key and God giving the victory, which obviously is what happened. We're not trying to minimize that. But there was something going on politically in the state of Pennsylvania when a Republican won it for the first time since 1988. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, Dave, it was. And I early on, we began to notice that the precincts and the polling locations outside of Philadelphia, so anybody who was looking and following the map, showed how they always showed Philadelphia and a couple of collar counties. Then you have the rest of the state. Well, the rest of the state, which is where I live and other folks live, obviously, we had key precincts that we were tracking. I was in an office for 18 years. I know what our precincts did. I know how they voted during the Bush election and in the elections in the past. We began to see early on that the turnout was much, much higher. If we from go and look at it from an historical perspective, we find out if there's more than a 65% turnout in the precincts, that in the past has meant generally a conservative or a Republican win. Now, we understood that this year things were different. People weren't just voting Republican or Democrat. They were voting more of an ideology and an identification with certain policy positions or a rejection of policy positions. But we began to see heavy turnout. Now, bottom line, what was happening was this, and happened all across from the western part of the state, Pittsburgh area, all the way to the east where we were, and across the middle part of the state. Turnout was in was in a couple of points of 80% of the precincts. 80% turnout was a standard turnout. Never, ever seen at that height, number one. Number two, when we began to see some of the results coming in, it was apparent before they were being reported on the news, we were finding that the choices were being made in ranges between 70% Trump, 30% Clinton, to 75% Trump, to 25% Clinton. Never have seen these kinds of things before, and knowing that these are the areas that come in late is when I began to send information up the road nationally and to you all guys, saying the move and the momentum is there. I believe it's going to happen in Pennsylvania, and it's going to be because of the people in the middle part of the state, many of them having never voted, the unlikely voter, number one, and number two, the Democrats in Pennsylvania, many of whom are pro-life, pro-Second Amendment. They are morally directed people. These are the ones who showed up yesterday. That, from a human perspective, are what the pundits, when they begin to analyze it, will say what's happened. We know that it's the communication of the truth of God's word. Many of these people were talked to in their churches. I believe that our radio program here in Pennsylvania, Standing the Gap Today, it did reach tens of thousands of people across the country, across our state, and we believe, as many others do, that God used some of what's happening on this program to influence as well, Dave. So there were a combination of things, but that's the human explanation of what took place.
Well, I'll say this, there is a divine component in all of this that cannot find an explanation any other place than the fact that God has intervened. And so, Gary, I'm going to ask you to do something that we have done every day for the last number of weeks, and today we're going to do it again. Would you take us to the throne of grace? Gary, we've prayed for victory. Now God has granted this initial victory. Let's praise him for it. And let's pray for the future of our nation, the new leadership, and for revival in the country. Gary, take us to God's throne, if you would, please.
And Father, we do thank you for what you did last night. And we do pray for Donald Trump as he puts his team together, that you would put a hedge of protection around him. We pray, Lord, that he would continue to get spiritual advice, and that through him a foundation would be laid upon biblical principles that would bring revival back into this nation. Unite this nation, dear Lord, around biblical truths. Use the American Pastors Network to strengthen this nation from the biblical perspective, and we will be certain to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And as your word says, now unto you that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto you be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Gary, thank you so much. Friends, today has been a celebratory program. Tomorrow will be more of an analysis program. So 23 hours from now, join us back at this same time for more Stand in the Gap Today.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.